Sorry about that.
Busy man, Pete,
yeah, dude, it's been pretty crazy, but it's been good. But dude, you know what the hell's going on? Where the hell have you been? You were in Libya last. You came back from Libya, or you've been just throughout the Middle East?
I was in Afghanistan before that. I came home for a little while. I got shipped back to Libya. Before that, I wasn't working for state. I was working for Aegis. Well, I'd say I was. I was subcontracted to a subcontractor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Working for Aegis, the insurance company? Is that who it is? Or?
No, Aegis, there's a defense group.
Oh, defense contractor. Okay, yeah, I know who they are.
We had, this is how bad it is, Pete. We are called a security detail, all right? But there is nobody on my team or the other team that does what we do that would have anything to fucking do with Hillary Clinton. If we had to be put on a security detail for her and she came on foreign soil, one of us would probably put her on the back of her head.
Is she a cunt? Really?
Oh, my God. And the whole thing is, well, she knows she's a cunt. She knows she's a fucking bitch. But the whole thing is, the State Department, the hierarchy knows that we hate her.
Mm-hmm.
So we're her little henchmen, but she knows better than to fucking corner us or put us in a position that puts her anywhere near her.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in for, like, we call them pre-vals. We go in and we evaluate sites and do shit like that.
Right.
And secure places. If we have to move people, we make people move. We do whatever. And then we actually have to load up and haul out, and then another security detail comes in, one that she can trust.
Right. So you guys are like a dance team?
Well, we do. We only do that when she's getting ready to be somewhere for more than 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
If she's somewhere for a day or two, fuck her. Let her have to put, she's not around. But, I mean, they send us to do all kinds of shit. You wouldn't believe some shit they have us do, Pete. It's fucked up. This fucking country is fucked.
The U.S. country? Or are you talking about Afghanistan?
Oh, well, that's a shithole, too. But, no, the U.S. is fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many things we've done that, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, you cannot believe how many people in the U.S. government abuse the power. Or not the power, I should say power, abuse the skill set of people like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking half my time is in the interest of oil. The oil interest. I'm doing shit for oil interest. I'm fucking running little villagers out of fucking little towns. It's just fucking crazy.
Wow.
I mean, it's throwback shit back to the 60s. You know, this all started with Rothschild. Back in the
60s. Fuck yeah, dude! I heard it started when Kissinger went out and started negotiating a deal for cheap oil with the Saudis in exchange for us. It was Kissinger negotiating a deal so that the Saudis would buy up our debt.
Well, it actually goes back farther than that. It goes back to the late 50s, back when the Shah was still in power.
Right.
The House of Saudi was fucking Bedouins. They're just a bunch of fucking gypsies roaming the desert. Fucking camel jockeys. They were true camel jockeys. They had no money. They had no wealth. Some British engineer, geologist, or whatever goes down there. Oh, I found oil. So he goes back. He's talking to the central banks in London. Rothschild picks up on it. I'm going to invest heavily in this region.
Mm-hmm.
So they send troops down there. British
mm-hmm.
troops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the time, Britain wasn't such a powerhouse, so they thought, well, we'll have some Americans come over, too. So the Americans are there. So now you got British and American interests, or military.
Mm-hmm.
And they start brokering a deal with the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what they say is, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to give you 40% of all the oil wealth and we're going to take 60%, but we're going to take care of all the infrastructure, all the pipeline, we're going to pay for everything, all the staff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take care of everything. You're just going to sit back and reap the rewards. And so that went on for freaking years. But funny thing is, you know who guards the House of Saeed?
Yeah. Who does?
British mercenaries.
Do they really?
On day one, their bodyguards are.
Wow.
100% of the time.
Hmm.
So there's still British interest there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Britain's a smaller country than we are, and their oil usage is as high as
them.
Mm-hmm. Not much, but the money for them. They're not worried about the oil. They're worried about the money from the oil.
Right.
And then that led up to what you heard about Kissinger. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Hey, were you at El Toro?
Yeah, at El Toro.
Fuck, there's
back there, Kenny, with you.
I was only there for a short period of time.
Where'd you go then?
No, then I got out. I got out of El Toro. It was just, that was my last duty station right there. That's right, okay, I remember. Yeah.
There a year or two, weren't you?
El Toro? No. No, that was my last duty station before I went out. Huh?
Where was you went to Okinawa?
Freaking Yuma, right? I went to Memphis.
Oh, you went to school and then Okinawa.
Yeah.
Oh, you said, did you get out early?
Yeah, I got it. Well, I got out medical, you know, but it was right about, I got out medical. I could have fucking stayed in, dude. And, you know, I don't have any regrets, but I could have stayed in. But they said, you know, you either, you know, continue to fucking push a pencil or go try the civilian world. And, that's when I said, okay, I'll go. Try it out. But, yeah. But anyways, listen, you know, I want to catch up with you, dude. So how long did you stay in? How long did you stay in the Corps?
Nine and a half.
Did you really?
Yeah, I went to work for Heimball. You remember Scotty Heimball, Colonel Heimball?
Heimball, yeah, that name sounds familiar, really familiar.
Okay. Somehow, remember Gunny Maurer?
Yeah.
Gunny Maurer asked me to come up there and be his munitions. I think the title was, I don't remember what it was, a real long title. An E-8 billet, I just picked up E-5. But he goes, well, you know, Ordnance, though, you can come up here and do this. I'm like, all right. So I go up there. All I did was take care of procurement, shipping, just make sure that the BBs were in different places when they need them, you know, lockers going on deployments, shit like that.
Right.
Traffic Management Coordinator for 3rd Marine Airplane. That was my job title.
Huh.
So, fine ball. I get there, and Heimball's like, you need to get in, you need to get some time overseas. He goes, but I think what I'm going to do is hook you up, because I'm going to call the monitor and have him ship you and mom, he's talking about Jerry, he goes, you want to ship you and mom to Hawaii? Think she'd like that? So I went home talking to her about that, and she goes, fuck yeah, let's go to Hawaii. So we go to Hawaii and we're fucking miserable after about 6 months.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I go to Hawaii for 3 years. But to do that, I had to extend on my contract because I had to put in the full 3 years there.
Right.
So I only had like 2 years left, so I had to extend for a year before I could even go.
Mm.
So that's where I got the rail to. Because I re-enlisted a year early,
mm-hmm.
and I did a 5-year re-enlistment.
Mm-hmm.
So, all said and done, it came out to about 9.5 years. But when I was in Hawaii, I got so fucking big at 4 feet. Recon come around, they're having, I guess, call them tryouts. And I said, fuck you, I'm going to go do this. Fuck this. I hate General O'Donnell. General O'Donnell's a fucking fag. I caught him in an alley kissing a dude one night. I got pictures of it.
Get the fuck out of here.
Ooh, I fucking hammered his ass, too. Well, he was riding my ass. From day one, Jerry was such a bitch, she made us late for the plane, so I missed the movement. So I had her and 2 kids in tow. We get to Hawaii, and he's just fucking yanking my chain from day one. He goes, you are fucking I hear you're the gold child of the West Coast. He goes, you're not shit to me, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, fuck your face.
Wow.
So it took me about 3 months, and I saw him downtown coming out of a fag bar. There was this alley, and it had cool bars on one side, fag bars on the other. I see him come out of this fag bar, and I'm thinking, no. And then it started putting two and two together, some of his mannerism and some of the things he said. So I went back and I told Greaves, you remember Greaves, Billy Greaves?
Yeah.
Martin Greaves?
Yeah.
He was over there already. And I told him, and he goes, no, there's no way. General Donald's not a homosexual. I said, fucking hey, just give me a picture. And we'll stop there. All right, some nice camera equipment from Okinawa still. So
right.
I go back and take pictures of it.
Uh-huh.
Caught him fucking making out behind a bush in the alley.
What the
so
fuck?
The next time he started busting my chops, I went in, I threw him down, and he had a trailer. His office was in a trailer, just like station weapons and all.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in, and I said, I tell you what, sir, let's make a deal. I said, you quit busting my fucking chops, quit treating shit, quit writing these fucked up fucking fitness reports, and you and I are going to get along famously. Because I don't know who you think you're talking to. And I said, well, I think you're talking to the person that knows a little bit more about you than what you're fucking about.
Wow.
I said, I'm gonna let you stew on this for a little bit, sir. I'll get back with you. And I'm trying to walk down his office and he started puking.
That's funny.
I went back and I went back in there about an hour later and I said, I think you and I need to get along a little better, don't you? And I'm just nodding my head yes. I said, I don't think that's asking too much to you. And I'm nodding my head no. And he goes, we'll work on our situation. I said, let's do that. He goes, but nobody needs to know anything about me. Do you understand? I said, I understand. But you understand it's a two-way street. So I walked back out. Well, I couldn't trust him, you know.
Right.
And he was getting ready. I thought he was getting ready to change his sense somewhere anyway. So he fucking kind of reneged on his deal. He wrote me a, not really a bad fitness report, but it wasn't what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So I fucking called Scotty Heinbaugh and started talking to him. I said, fucking dude is a homosexual, sir. And he goes, damn, that's a pretty blatant thing. I said, sir, I'm telling you, I've got proof. I have pictures. Well, then I thought I gave him all the pictures, of course, but I didn't. I guess so. So, Scotty says, I need those sent to me, and I'll get taken care of. The fucker ended up in AVAC Alaska as an ordnance officer.
In Alaska?
AVAC Alaska, yep.
No shit. Wow.
So,
that's a funny story.
Right before that starts happening, I have somebody comes around. And says, I was in the unit that had ground ammo techs and air wing ammo techs. All right, it was kind of a joint station weapons.
Uh huh.
And they were some gung-ho motherfuckers. It's unbelievable. So I start talking to a couple of them, and this little kid named Sergeant Young says, "Hey, he goes, let's go try a fucking recon." I was like, "All right, let's go." Well, we did pretty good at some stuff. And they said, well, we're going to take a second look at you guys. We're going to probably bring you down to Pendleton. I was like, okay. So we're thinking about it. We're like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go back to California. You know, so now we're rethinking what we really want to do. Both of us think the same thing, actually. And I get this phone call one day. It says, you need to go see the CO. So I go see the CO, and he says, he goes, I've been talking to, First Sergeant, such and such, I forget his name was now, and he goes, he's starting up this new thing. It's going to be called a security detail. He goes, would you like to be in on it? And I said, possibly. I said, I need to know more about it. I said, well, why me, sir? He goes, well, he goes, you're the best shooter in the unit. He goes, and you continually shot high scores on the rifle range. He said, and we're looking for a shooter. He goes, you could be a unit designated marksman. He goes, I'll tell you all about it. Well, it ends up coming out, we were the first. It was called Unified Security Detail. But what it ended up being was Fast Platoon. You ever heard of Fast Platoon?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team?
Yeah.
We had like an MOS of 85XX, because they didn't even have an MOS for it yet.
No shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were actually the first Fast Platoon before it was even Fast Platoon. And,
no fucking shit. You went right from Ordnance to Fast Platoon?
Yep. Well, no. I had to go through a bunch of training.
Right.
I spent like 18,
Probably close to 20 months of the 2 years. I was in it 22 months. No, 26 months. 22 months of the 26 months I was in FAST, I was spent training. I went to Pathfinder school. I went to fucking Ranger school. They sent us all kinds of fucking shit.
No
we
shit.
We went on recon. We did Halo and Yuma. We did all kinds of shit. Well, what it was, the Commandant's time was pissed off that the fucking SEALs were getting all the glory.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted his own little fucking team.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to make us like, you know, Super Rambos or something, I guess.
Right.
So then I said, they wanted me to re-enlist. And they said, well, we're going to set this FAST up that it's going to be 2-year contract. And you sign a contract and you have to stay in for the 2 years. And I'm going to get out, you fucking die.
Right.
So my time was coming up, and it didn't quite match with my 2 years that, you know, that I had obligated to give them. So they let me like stay for 4 months,
mm-hmm.
the final 4 months, and then I don't know. Somehow I got my orders fucked up, and I had to go to Yuma for SEPs. I was at Yuma for 2 weeks. Married people didn't go to fucking SEPs. You know, you just went home.
Right.
But somehow I had to go to fucking.
So you had to take your family to Yuma?
No, Seth was at Pendleton when I went through.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
No, like all the schools and shit, like Halo School was at Yuma. I didn't know they stayed home. I mean, actually, they came back to Indiana, but no, I went to fucking Bragg, Quantico 2 or 3 times.
You went to Bragg for what? Country. Hanging out with freaking Army dogs?
Yeah, Pathfinder school. It's an Army school. Ranger
right.
school. School was fucking Army. Was Army school.
Right.
So, which sucked. I mean, you know, jarhead on a, you know, 5 fucking jarheads on a $20,000 or 20,000 Army personnel just didn't mix real well.
It's yeah, like no shit.
A Marine of the fucking Navy base.
Right.
All you do is fight. And,
So, dude, so you're in your FAST platoon, and then you went out. Did you go private contractor right away as soon as you got out?
No, I actually come home and started my own business. I was restoring classic cars. Because the whole time I had free time in Hawaii, I was painting cars on the side. I had a maintenance shop, and we had this gearhead for a lieutenant that took over for Gunner O'Donnell.
Uh-huh.
And he was fucking cool as shit. He goes, as long as you keep it cool, you paint all the cars you want down here. So I had this whole building myself.
You're funny.
I painted the CO's Porsche. I painted the fucking Provost Marshal's Mercedes. I painted all the EOD guys next door.
You're
all
funny.
Their cars.
Fucking hustling.
And they got me in. They're the ones that got me into it because these fuckers had it made, Pete. The EOD in Hawaii at Kaneohe Bay had their own fucking designated helo because they're always finding unexploded ordnance around the island.
That's
so
funny.
They would call over to maintenance and say, hey, what are you doing this afternoon? I was like, I don't know. What are we doing? He goes, well, we're going to go fucking get some lobster. I was like, okay. So we would go fucking spear lobster out of this fucking helo, climb back in the helo. Why? Because we didn't do anything. The whole island is breeding grounds for hammerheads or whales or some. There's no live ordnance dropped anywhere near that island.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't issue one 500-pound HE bomb the whole time I was there.
Really?
Not one.
Huh.
Not one.
Hmm.
So we got I started storing cars. Well, Jerry and I got into it and started going through a divorce. And I got a phone call one day from a buddy of mine that was in FAST with me. He goes, hey, man, he goes, I'm going to Gunsight. You ever heard of it? I said, yeah, I heard of it. He goes, it's 2 weeks. He goes, why don't you meet me down here? I was like, all right. I need to get out of town anyways. Divorce is driving me nuts.
Mm.
So I go down there. I come back, and fucking Jerry had cleaned out the shop. She'd sold all my tools. She had...
Oh, that's fucked up, dude.
Yeah, the Mustangs were mine. Somehow she got those out. I don't even know what she did with them. Probably fucking crushed them, kind of.
Mm.
And so I said, well, fuck, it'd be a good time to quit, I guess. And when we was at Courtside, we got to meet some other people, and they started talking to us. And the next thing you know, they're wanting us to come work for them. Well, that was Blackwater back then.
Mm-hmm.
So we were with Blackwater, and then I got into Sedan, and hooked up with some British guys.
With Blackwater?
No. We got Blackwater got in some trouble down there. They
right.
fucking left us hanging, man. They gave us like $5,000 apiece and said, "Fucking make your own way." So we're looking at each other like, "What the fuck?" Because they always handle logistics and everything. You just show up somewhere, you hop on a plane, they hand you fucking ammo, they hand you weaponry, and you fucking go do your job.
Right.
Well, we didn't. We were all fairly new to this game, and we decided, let's go hook up with the Brits. They're pretty cool because we've been on some joint little maneuvers with them and
mm-hmm.
got along with them. And the Aussies, there were some Australians down there too doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started making contacts, and spent a lot of fucking time in Africa. A lot of time in Africa. Way too much time in Africa.
Mm.
Actually have a fucking plane in Africa. I own my own plane, Pete.
Do you do? In Africa?
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah, who cares though? It's probably a freaking, puddle jumper? What is it? Well, that's great.
It's fucking like, it's a 40-year-old, it's some fucking French, I can't even say the name. Nueve or something, I don't know. It's got one of them rotary engines, all the pistons go out in a circle,
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. We just used it to fucking...
Freaking antique? Yeah.
It was. We just used a spare sheet. It only cost me like $3,500. It cost me more to get it rebuilt than it did fucking buy the plane.
That is wild. So what the hell were you doing in Africa? I don't understand what our fascination is with Africa.
Oil.
All the freaking diamonds and freaking natural resources and shit.
Well, we're not really into the we're not into the diamonds. That's an Israeli and British thing. That's their gig.
Wow.
That and a lot of the South African warlords are here heading it now. But no, Sudan now is broken off into Southern Sudan and Northern Sudan.
Hmm.
And the Lord, the Liberation, whatever the fuck it's called, they are, you heard of Kony 2012, that little campaign.
Yeah, right. That whole rigged fucking thing.
Yeah. And you heard of Machine Gun Preacher?
No. Mm-hmm.
It's a guy from, I think he's Minnesota or Wisconsin or somewhere. He went over there. He was a fucking drug addict biker. And he had epiphany one night, and he said, something's telling me to go to Africa. So he goes to Africa, and he's working with these missions. Well, he hears that there's some shit going on north in Sudan. He didn't want to go to Sudan. Well, he wants to go to Sudan, but nobody will go with him. So he ends up in Sudan, and the guy picks up some fucking machine guns and just starts whacking these fuckers. Bad guys. So he starts protecting kids. He builds a mission right in the thick of the fucking war zone. Puts up a fence around it, takes kids in. He had like 200 or 300 kids at one time because all the parents have been killed. And this Kony dude is turning these kids into slaves and all this other shit. So he actually got himself a little trouble a couple times. We had to go get him out. But it's, I don't know. It's all oil for Sudan, Southern Sudan. Southern Sudan's oil rich. Northern Sudan wants it back. And that's where they're fighting.
So you're in Sudan working for Blackwater?
No. We're just working for whoever.
So you're a private contractor just doing freaking mercenary work?
Yep. Back then, yeah.
Wow. So what's your primary job? You're a fucking shooter? You were a shooter back then?
That's what I first went into Fast Platoon.
Right.
Designated Unit Marksman, they called it.
Fuck, dude. That must have been a fucking
trip,
huh?
It was a modified M4. It was 7.62 instead of 5.56.
Wow.
And then I had a Barrett. I had a 50 cal Barrett. I was kind of hoping they'd send me to sniper school because I was thinking... I wasn't really thinking towards the future about being a defense contractor or even working in that. When I was in Fast Platoon, I'm thinking, if I could get into fucking sniper, then I could get on a police force when I get out or something,
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get them to send me to sniper school. Oh, you shoot well enough, you don't need it. We're not dragging and tagging, so you don't have to worry about hanging out in the bush for fucking 3 months stalking somebody. And I was like, and that's primarily what sniper school was doing, was teaching them camouflage.
How to stay still for frickin' 2 weeks.
Yeah. Exactly. And I just so I missed out on that. But and then Jerry and I mean, it got real ugly. She was having thrown in jail like every 3 weeks.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. She was saying I was beating her and everything else. And I'd show up and I'd have fucking scratches all over me. And she and I have a mark on her. And the judge was like, well, what happened? And then he'd look at me and he goes, you're free to go. And finally he got sick of it. And he goes, look, Ken, right, here's the deal. He goes, if he comes in here on a trumped up charge one more time, you're doing 60 days in jail.
Hmm.
So she finally chilled out and stopped. But...
wow.
But that's my life in a nutshell.
And this little thing with the State Department hasn't been very long either. It's, I don't know, 13 months. I'm going to work for them.
So you've been out of the country just freaking traveling the world?
Pretty much.
Love and life?
If I think about it, I probably would have went different avenues.
Yeah, but dude, you know what? This is what's tripping me out to speed this whole thing up. We have literally watched the world change from the time we were in the court to right now, change fucking lightning speed. Huh?
Oh, my God.
For the fucking worst.
I mean, you think about the superpowers back then.
Oh, yeah.
They're nothing now, you know?
Dude, we were a respectable, honorable, freaking, very defensive country back then, right?
Yep. Yeah, we were.
I mean, fucking Reagan as our commander-in-chief, we were just like, force in fucking readiness.
We were rulers. We were rulers of the world. I
mean, rulers of the world. Yeah, honorable rulers of the world. Now, it's kind of like the shit that you're talking about, like with Clinton. She's such a freaking, such a fucking mess. And the people they put in place are a bunch of fucking idiots that are trying to justify their existence with using fancy words and shit like that. And they're out there wreaking fucking havoc throughout the world.
Yeah, I didn't get to follow it a lot, so I'm thinking the campaign was really going to go a different direction.
Yeah.
I thought that people, because the few times that I was home for, you know, 3 or 4 days,
mm-hmm.
at a time, I'm doing a little research and talking to some, you know, relatives and some friends, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And Tony and I were staying in touch here. Tony, come home, I'd call him. And, he'd say, well, he goes, I don't think Obama's going to get reelected. He goes, I got a lot of black friends up here in Wisconsin, Seattle, and he goes, it's just not going to happen. They're not going back out to vote for him. So I felt a little bit better because I knew some guys working for the company that had fucking mad. They had 3 file cabinets full of intel on Barack.
Right.
Yeah. 3 fucking file cabinets.
Right.
And they've been tracking him since. Oh, but here's the thing that really sucked, Pete. I lived at Punahou, where he went to school. That was my first apartment, was in Punahou. It was a high rise. It was an old hotel converted into condos.
Right.
That was Jerry and I's first fucking apartment for 6 months before I got in base housing.
Hmm.
And he lived right there. I could have took the motherfucker out back then. We wouldn't have this problem.
No shit.
But it was small.
And dude, the reason why he was in Hawaii is because of their liberal freaking policies with like birth certificates and shit like that. He's got that crazy, crazy fucking background. But I heard that Hawaii is a fucking racket with respect to documentation and shit like that. And he was raised as a, huh? Is that true?
His birth certificate is a fucking forgery.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that I've seen the documentation on it, but I've talked to enough people that have seen shit.
Right.
And they're like, it's 100% fucking fake.
Well, the one that's on whitehouse.gov, you missed this whole thing. I freaking pulled that document down within like 8 minutes of it being posted. And, uh-huh. and I'm certified on freaking Adobe. And I pulled it apart. I said, this fucking thing is layered. What the fuck is this? It got floating layers. And I started pulling it apart. And it was a forged document that was posted on whitehouse.gov. Now, who did it? You know, you'll never fucking know.
Exactly.
But somebody rigged that thing.
You know, it's just like your phone call. You know, oh, I'd like to talk to you about President Obama. Well, you need to call the FBI. Okay, well, doesn't he run the fucking FBI too? You know, there's no checks and balances anymore.
None.
And he's written up executive orders that I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of shit now, Pete. I'm hearing shit like he's,
dude, he's got national security. He's got national security directives and executive orders that with one fucking stroke of the pen, the motherfucker is literally a dictator.
Well, get this. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Hmm.
He wants to go to a new world order, okay? That's pretty much been proven by some different people.
Right.
His whole thing is he wants to turn sovereignty over the U.S. to the U.N. He would like to just write off the United States of America and make the UN the world power.
You know how long I've been saying this for the past 6 months. Yeah.
And he is wanting to. Okay.
That's a trip you're saying that.
Now
Wow.
with his executive orders that he's written here recently, he has now postured himself to a position that if it came down as a resolution. You know, resolutions do not have to be voted on the same way. You know, you have to have, 67% of the vote?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When a resolution is brought before the legislative branches, it does not have to be voted on. It has to be voted on and amended by 67%, but only 67% of the people are sitting on their asses in the building at the time.
Hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So if he fucking waits until Christmas Eve and knows all the Republicans are fucking family guys and they're going to go home.
Right.
And then he calls in this resolution vote and all the Democrats and everybody else is struggling to get back in time.
Well, no.
He can pass it.
No, check this out, dude. This is what can happen is if there's civil unrest here in the United States through like a false flag, he could call in the U.N., And there's special. I mean, Clinton signed the freaking presidential directive that said that. And this is after I got out and I'm looking at the shit. And Clinton signs this presidential directive that says essentially that if we have civil unrest in the United States, he could call in the UN. The UN would take over the U.S. Our fucking military would operate under the freaking UN flag.
Yep.
They could do that shit. Let me ask you. You've obviously been connected. They're false flags are fucking real, massive ones, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Have you ever had any access to the top level shit they're doing with like fucking HAARP weather modification stuff?
No.
You're not aware of that, huh? That's some high level shit going on there.
Well, and you have to think about this. I've also worked for a company a few times too, subcontracted. They're not supposed to be operating on U.S. soil. So just about 95% of the shit I've done has been across the pond somewhere.
Right.
Or south of the border at least.
Because it's legal.
So.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Right.
Well, they don't call it legal, they call it sanctioned.
Yeah, right. So let me ask you something, dude. Let's get right to the fucking the current shit. We're sitting on a fucking powder keg right now, are we not?
Yes, we are.
It's really dangerous. I don't understand why we're fucking with Iran so bad. I don't get it. Are they really that fucking dangerous?
Well, think about how many people they got, Pete, and they're all fucking zealots. There's 40 million people that they can put in arms. I mean, of military age. There's 40 million people. Now, granted, some of that's women, you know, like 39% of it's women. But women can fucking shoot. Women can throw fucking grenades. Women can fucking pull a trigger on a tank. You know, it's just like the Chinese. It's put the Chinese up against us. They're going to throw enough bodies. There's going to be some serious mass casualties.
Right.
But the whole thing is, here's the thing. You got all these little countries right now lobbing these rockets, they're calling them, little missiles or whatever, over into Gaza, okay? So, I put it like this. You know how you always had a kid in school that was a bully, and they always had a little ring of friends that were always picking on people to begin with?
Yeah.
And they'd soften that person up, they'd break them down to the point the bully just walked in and fucking waxed him.
Right.
The kid didn't even have a fucking fight left in him.
Right.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Hmm.
I think this is my personal opinion. I don't have any documentation to prove this, but I believe Iran's going to sit around until Iraq starts running low on ammo. Obama's going to make it sound like he's interested, but I don't think Obama's going to do shit for Iraq. Have you seen some of the videos of his celebration party after the election at his headquarters?
Mm-mm.
There's videos out there, Pete, of fucking dudes. Like, one of them looks like a rap star. I think he's got fucking gold teeth and hat on sideways. There's white people. There's even one Jewish kid. They're all jumping up and down, and the only thing they're saying over and over and over is, Israeli is gone. Israeli's fucking toast.
Get the fuck out of here.
I fucking kid you not. On YouTube. I'll send you some links tonight.
Wow.
And these, so something had to be said. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't have that many different demographics show up at a fucking party. Even the Jewish kid said, you know, I was raised Jewish, my parents are Jewish, but Israel's just wrong for doing what they're doing. So, that tells me that Obama had a plan for Israel anyway.
Yeah.
And I really think that it's going to come down to all these other countries are going to fucking expand their ammo, softening Israel up, making them hurt a little bit, and then it'll just be a catwalk for Iran. Now, that's going to come up in two factions. It's going to, one, it's going to look, make them look like they're just a fucking powerhouse. Because Iran knows that their military is strong in numbers but weak in the mind. They don't have tactical advantage. They don't have the experience. They don't have anything else. But, you know, it's just like you watch all these movies like Braveheart and all that. Those fucking farmers were idiots. The farmers could kick the shit out of a fucking crew of knights if they had it in their minds they could win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, SWAPS is a deadly... SWAPS is probably more important to a battle than just about anything.
Yeah.
If you can get into your fucking opponent's head...
Right.
Then... Are you ready?
Have you been doing a lot of PSYOP shit?
Well, no, not really. I babysit some psychologists that were working on some shit, but...
Right. But we employ a lot of those tactics against them behind the scenes, though, right? A lot of that
shit.
Oh,
well, now, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Obama's huge on it.
Mm-hmm.
Obama is, he's a crafty fucker. See, here's the thing about Obama. Obama is, that's what pisses me off the most about him. He's so fucking arrogant. Think about all the shit he's being accused of. Does he ever come out and say, I'm not doing that? That's just absolutely ludicrous.
He never does,
He doesn't say shit.
Right.
Never. He just fucking lets them roll off their tongue. You
know? Dude, he's straight up fucking Chicago mafia. He's got so many fucking people around him. And he has, I mean, they groom this dude right from freaking day one, man. Chicago mafia
okay,
did.
Pete,
yeah.
Here's what I want to know. One, who paid for fucking Occidental, his first school?
No shit.
That ain't a cheap school.
Right.
His fucking dad was gone. His mom was... a working stiff. She didn't make any money.
And
here, the Cetero, whatever the fuck his name was, his stepdad, he didn't have any money. Not enough to put him in Occidental. He had a free ride. I mean, somebody paid it. How'd he get to fucking Harvard? He wasn't a straight-A student.
Right.
Somebody had to pay for it.
Who scrubbed his whole fucking... Look at how much it would cost just to scrub his fucking background.
Yep.
Millions, dude.
It pisses me off because I remember seeing an interview, and they played that interview here a few times lately. Brokaw and some other commentator were talking about Obama during the first election.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy looks at Brokaw and he says, you know, what do we know about this guy? And Brokaw just kind of ran with it. He goes, you know, really, I don't really know anything about him.
That's a trend.
And I guess we're just going to have to learn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking guy that's getting elected president, what do you mean you don't fucking know anything about it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just, I'm proud of you, Pete. I can't believe I heard it. You just need to watch your back, brother.
Oh, I know. You know what? Seriously, I'm going to tell you something right now. I could literally, right next to me every single fucking night, it doesn't leave my sight. I got an M4, all right? I walk around this fucking joint with either a 44 or I sleep with a fucking 44. I got a 9mm every 2 fucking feet in my house. If I start talking to enough people, that's when they'll fuck with me.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of glad I'm. Yeah, and that's why I'm kind of glad I'm staying small. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is, we must right now. I'm being absolutely fearless in the fact that we must get these fucking communists out of here, dude. Seriously, we let them fucking infiltrate. I'm just floored by the fact that we just let them steamroll us.
Yep.
We're totally infiltrated. Yeah.
You got an ink pen?
Yeah.
Ink pen?
Yeah.
Write this down and put this somewhere. Don't ever call it unless it's an emergency.
Yeah, bro. Mm-hmm.
317.
Mm-hmm.
224.
Mm-hmm.
8991.
Mm-hmm.
That's my real has been for years phone number.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. stateside phone number. Okay.
Right.
That's cell phone. It's laying here right beside me.
Right.
The phone I'm on now, I just fucking bought it 20 minutes ago.
Right.
So this is a burn phone. Okay.
Right.
There is going to come a time. I got some phone calls in because I have a feeling there's going to be some people not liking you in the near future, and it may be past that already. I don't know. I'm
not
trying to put fear God in you, but
I'm fucking fearless. I'm absolutely.
I got phone calls in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I hear something, the keyword's Nissan. Okay, Nissan is what we call the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you ever hear me say, "Hey, Nissan's listening,"
right,
and I can tell you that's only known by me. Five guys on my team,
mm-hmm.
and the six guys in the other fucking team.
Okay? Right.
So that's just something we've come up with.
Right.
So if I call and tell you, Nissan's calling, now here's what I need you to do. If you need to talk to me during the day, you need to call from 4:15 to 4:30,
mm-hmm.
and you need to get cut the phone off at 4:30. Whatever
mm-hmm.
you need to tell me, you need to tell me those 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a shift change at NSA Listening Center.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Everything will go to a computer. And the computer doesn't pick up everything.
Right.
But you got all these other fucking, and I hope they're listening now because I hate fucking NSA. They're a bunch of cocksucking, fat fucking faggot. I hate
them. Yeah, they're working for the fucking communists, dude.
Yep, they are.
Yeah.
So, if they're listening, fuck you fuckers. But
fuck you motherfuckers. Don't be one of the first ones through the fucking door. That's all I can say, right?
That's right. So, if, That's the only window you have to talk,
right?
And not have somebody with a headset on dissecting it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But the shit's archived.
So
yeah.
But you know how much shit is archived? They don't have fucking time to go through everything.
Right.
But what they'll do is they'll put a person of interest board up, and I've seen the board. The person of interest board goes up, and there's fucking 100 names on that board,
mm-hmm.
100 phone numbers on that board,
right.
100 emails,
right.
100 contact points, period.
Right.
And what they'll do is they'll just start backtracing all those people's activities for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
The next shift comes in, and then they'll
right.
do the same thing. And it's redundancy. People triple-check shit at NSA.
Mm-hmm.
That's how deep they dig on their watch list.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And funny story, Humphrey got fucking nailed. He was working in Cooksville, Tennessee for Aerojet Ordnance, all right?
Right.
And he was going to catch a plane out of Nashville, and he got fucking tagged for powder residue.
Oh, no shit. Of course.
Yeah,
right.
He was working for Aerojet Ordnance.
Right.
He was in a 30-millimeter division back then. So
right.
They put him on a no-fly list for like 2 years.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, he was on a fucking no-fly list.
With a clearance.
So, yeah.
And he couldn't get off?
He's, Well, he did finally, but it took him quite a while.
Right.
At first, you didn't realize it, you know.
Wow.
So, but anyway, it's fucked up.
Yeah, dude. So this number, this is your official phone or your personal one that you can use to fucking talk.
The one I just called you on.
Yeah. Well, no, the 317. Hmm?
That's my personal phone.
Okay.
You can talk to me about life, but don't.
Right. I got you.
Always use this number for any other head.
Fucking Nissan. Fuck you, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Better fucking hide in a fucking bunker. Yeah. Yeah, dude, we're on the good side, man. When the shit fucking comes down, and this is, I'm being out there to fucking start awakening people. We need our freaking vets dialed in right now.
Yep.
We need them. We're going to fucking need all of them.
I think you're going to be shocked at how many Marines are ready to step up. Former Marines are ready to step
up. No, dude, I'm getting fucking calls. I'm getting calls like fucking crazy right now to where they're putting themselves out there like, dude, I'm working for, I mean, they're working for the fucking government or they got a high corporate job and they're like, you're fucking dialed. We're right beside you, dude. Watch your back. I got people that want to come here and fucking surround my joint because they're like, they're going to come after you because you're talking the right shit, going after the right people.
This is something you need to put on your chat every night, two or three times a night. You figure out how you want to word it. It's your show. But when you're on a phone with somebody and you're talking,
mm-hmm.
that phone is recorded, okay? And that recording picks up on keywords.
Right.
Keywords, like the biggest one, bomb.
Right.
Al-Qaeda is another one, okay? Mm-hmm. If you say Al-Qaeda, you know, 15 times in a fucking 20-minute phone conversation, it's probably going to send a flag and they're going to go back and research that and find out what's going on.
Right.
So, you need to tell your people the bomb's just down. Don't even ever bring that up. Because what's going to happen is, even in your chat room, if one person says it and the next guy says, why the fuck do we need to bomb them? What the fuck, man? We need to bomb. And so that word bomb keeps popping up, even in the chat room.
Right.
It eventually sends a trigger.
Right.
So
mandatory, yeah.
That's just one you need to put out there almost every night and say, look, I understand we need to fight. But just for posterity, the word bomb will not be tolerated on this chat room or something
right.
like that.
Right,
know?
Right.
I mean, I know people take, you know, hear the bomb, they take it out of context, that's understandable, but.
Bomb, Al-Qaeda.
Oh, there's a bunch of keywords, and it's fucking always changing. I mean, it just depends on what the hot spots are, you know.
Dude, tell me this, man. What the fuck happened in, well, I mean, whatever you can tell me, and I won't. I don't know. What you know? What, dude? Seriously, fucking tell me. I need to put some shit out there. Tell me what you can tell me about what happened in fucking Libya, because I know that's going to be the culmination of a lot of fucking shit that came down, especially with the Obama administration.
Well, I don't know if it's true, okay, but this is how it's looking.
Yeah,
the ambassador was running guns.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Right.
To arm the rebels in Syria. He had already armed the rebels in Libya. I was
right.
in Libya when fucking I was 300 yards from Gaddafi when they fucking hung him.
Were you fucking really?
I actually had my hands on one of his fucking old 45s, Pete.
Nope.
I had my fucking hand on it. And the kid that took it from him was like, whoever touched it, he was letting people touch the gun, but whoever touched it, he had a fucking AK pointed at their head. Give it back, motherfucker.
Right.
And I was trying to buy it from him. I was like, I'll buy this from you. Money? You know, I'm like giving a little international money sign. He's like, no, no, no. He's smiling. But I was 300 feet when they took him down. I was actually trailing in that car. I was trailing that convoy when they started taking the cars out in the convoy and then drug him out.
Wow.
But the whole thing with Benghazi is he was supplying the rebels, okay? Two things. Obama's afraid of the guy. Obama feared him. He was on a fast track in the political arena.
Right.
The guy had so many fucking friends. So many people loved him to death.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody disliked him except Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm.
So there's strike one against him. Strike two, you've got a possibility of Iran starting to get some arms. There's people inside Iran that are just fucking scared to death of doing anything against the country. They want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the Americans need to go in now, or probably were already. CIA's probably fucking man up.
Yeah, bags
of balls.
It bags of cash. Bags of cash aren't going to give them courage, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when that lab rat fucking disappeared and ended up dead a couple of days later here not too long ago.
Right.
A nuclear physicist or whatever
right.
it was.
That's right.
That was part of leading up to what happened in Benghazi.
Right.
And I'll tell you more about that later. It's a long story. But anyway, the whole thing is,
he was getting ready to arm rebels against Iran. Well, Obama doesn't want that. Obama wants Iran to be there. They want Iran. They want Iran to thrive.
Hmm.
They want them to feel secure in themselves enough that they have nuclear weapons, but he doesn't want them to use it.
Right.
I'll give him that much credit. He does not want them to use it.
Right.
So, see, the whole thing Obama has figured out is, if somebody starts pushing fucking buttons over there,
yeah,
then we have a fucking second Atlantis, because that whole little peninsula over there is fucking toast.
Right. Yeah, but the fucking, but dude, tell me the truth, man. The Israelis will not fucking tolerate that. They'll fucking spin off from the U.S. administration. We're strong allies and everything, but Israel will not let Iran have a fucking bomb.
Oh, no, they won't. They won't.
And so Obama's administration, Chicago fucking mafia, thinking they're going to cut a fucking deal of some sort to let Iran have a bomb is unacceptable by the Israelis. The fucking Mossad will take out Obama to stop that from fucking happening.
See, that's why Obama is so heavily against Netanyahu. He hates the Israeli cabinet. He hates their mentality.
Neocon.
He thinks they need to walk with a softer stick, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. He thinks they should just soften their stance and say, "Hey, let's all just fucking smoke a joint and fucking chill out."
Right.
Well, that's not how Israeli mind thinks. And, I mean, you talk about a region that's been fucking warring for, you know, over the same shit. A fucking 30 square mile tract of land for, what?
50, 60 years?
1,400.
Well, longer than that, right.
1,400 or 1,500 years.
Yeah. Right, right, right. But
so, it's just, you know, and it's kind of funny, too. We were watching some videos over in, I think we were in Saudi at that time. We're watching some videos in the hotel, and we're watching Kingdom of Heaven. You ever seen Kingdom of Heaven?
Mm-mm.
I don't remember the kid's name. Jeff Bloom or something Bloom. He was a blacksmith in a village. His dad was a nobleman in Jerusalem. Had quite a bit of land and had knights under arms.
Mm-hmm.
He comes by this village and he goes, "I knew your mother. I raped her. I'm your father."
Mm-hmm.
And it was the dude that was in Taken, the movie Taken.
Mm-hmm.
That guy. Okay, he's his father.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, "If there's anything you want from me, ask it now, because I'll never be back." And he goes, "There's nothing I want." Well, he killed the priest, because his priest cut his wife's head off after she died.
Mm-hmm.
She committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So he kills the priest, he gets on a horse, and he chases his dad down. Well, his dad had like a German dude with him, and a black dude with him, and he just had this hodgepodge of these mercenaries working for him.
Mm-hmm.
Knights. But they were bad motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sheriff from the castle sent people after him, right? So his dad takes one to the lung, punctures a lung. And so now he's going to inherit all these lands. So he goes back into Jerusalem, and he dies. His dad dies like first or second day they're in Jerusalem. So they make him a knight and make him the nobleman for all these lands. Well, the king at the time hated him to begin with, hated his dad. Now he hates him even more. And the king was dying. He had leprosy. The king's sister was going to take over as queen. But to do so, she had to marry somebody. Well, dude, she married. You seen Triple X?
Uh huh.
Ben Diesel.
Right.
The guy that was in Triple X, the Croatian dude or Russian dude or whatever, that's mm-hmm. who her husband was.
Really?
And this fucker, he wants war. That's all he wants. He just wants to kill every fucking Saracen he can. Well, he gets his fucking ass handed to him. Very end of the movie, King Henry is coming down this fucking trail, and the blacksmith's working back in the blacksmith shop, and he goes, "I'm looking for Vader, Guardian of Jerusalem." He goes, "I'm just a blacksmith." And he goes, "Oh." He goes, we're going to take back Jerusalem. And that just, to me, being over in that region for so much, that just made me fucking realize that's just the mentality. You know, hey, we got our asses kicked. We got kicked out.
let's go home and have a beer, think about it. We'll go back and kick these fuckers out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be that way.
Hmm.
Nobody has ever... And see, the bad thing is, and the guy that wrote this movie was smart enough to know that.
Mm-hmm.
He put some symbolism in there. When the leader of the Saracens got in there, he found a cross fell over on the ground. He picked that cross up and set it back on the table and gave it a little form of respect. You know, he kind of rubbed it and wiped the dust off of it.
Right.
And he set it back up on the table and he walked out.
Hmm.
There are good Muslims. There are.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are fucking shitheads, but there are some good ones.
Yeah, but the leadership between both sides are going to be fucking battling it out. We're never going to be able to resolve it.
Well, you know what the CIA's answer is? They did a very, very comprehensive study. You know what they decided? Interbreeding is the only way to soften the issues between Christians and Muslims.
No shit, dude. Really?
Yes, they want to breed them out. And they said it might take 200 or 300 years at least.
Wow.
The only way it's ever going to happen is they get them to start interbreeding. Hey, I've got a Christian son. Please don't kill my son. Father, please don't kill my son, you know.
Right.
And the other way around. My daughter's Muslim. My mother's Muslim, you know. But that's, they had this fucking big-ass report, and that everybody's reading it and like, what the fuck?
Dude, have you ever heard that Obama and his entire family's fucking CIA connected?
No, but I tell you what. There is a guy, he was a bill collector, and he was trying to find out something on somebody, and I just watched this, like, the first day I was home. I don't remember where I was seeing it at now. Might have been YouTube. The guy started doing some research, and he came up with a name. And the name owed a bunch of fucking money. So when he called this house, Michelle answered the phone. So then he's like, that name sounds familiar. So he hangs up the phone, and he starts looking back through some other things he had. And he gets to the bottom of the file, and Obama was using aliases at the time.
Mm-hmm.
One of them aliases incurred a debt, never paid it. That's what this guy was going after, was that alias. He didn't know who it was.
Right.
So the whole fucking thing come down to this guy had, or Obama was using her maternal mother's father's last name, or her mother's maiden name, Michelle Obama's mother's maiden name. Obama was using their last name and a first name of one of his great-grandfathers or something.
Huh.
A tribal name. And then this guy started looking into it, and he started coming up with all kinds of other names. And there was some CIA names in there also.
Hmm.
So.
And he's using this shit to get fucking loans.
Yeah. Conspiracy theory one. There's three avenues we've talked about, me and friends. Conspiracy theory one. The CIA has, you call them what you want, New World Order, Illuminati, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they want to go that way. So they start grooming Obama early.
Right.
Second theory is the CIA was using Obama, and they didn't realize Obama had such a fucking background in socialism and communism, and they just lost control. It spun out of control real quickly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Third theory is that Obama, at some point in time, realized that he was being groomed. He talked to the people he was talking to, and he realized, they're putting me, they're posturing me for something big.
Mm-hmm.
And then arrogance took over on his part. I kind of lead to the third one. I think they were grooming him for something. I don't know what. But I do know this is the most arrogant fucking cocksucker walking the face.
No shit. No shit. Hey, listen. Hold on 1 second, okay? Dude, you cannot go anywhere. I'm just going to set my phone down. I got to go sign a document right now at the front door. All right, hold on 1 second. I'm going to set the phone down. All right. Don't go away. Sorry about that. Hey.
The other thing you need to remember is, if anyone ever calls you and asks you if you know Gandalf Black.
Uh-huh.
He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. I've been a friend of mine for years.
Right.
They say, where do you know him from? Say, well, he was in he grew up in New York with me.
You broke up. What was that? Say what?
That he grew up in New York with you.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
There is a history on a Gandalf Black in New York.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just don't embellish on it, because then, you know, stories start overlapping and they don't pan out.
That's a trip.
Then you can tell them, fuck you, Nissan, get the fuck off my phone.
If I say Nissan to them, they'll know that I'm onto them?
No. They shouldn't, because we've always... You would not believe the depths and the length we go to. I mean... Seen these movies where guys get ready to go into an office and they turn around, they check each other out, they pat each other down, make
right.
Their graphs are tight, you know,
right.
Have deep conversations. Where's your phone? Turn your fucking phone off. Put your phone in that drawer.
Pull your fucking battery out. All that shit.
When we're in a hotel, we take the phones apart, we put them in a towel, and we put them in a drawer.
Yeah. No shit.
Because
now they got these freaking little backup batteries in the fucking phones.
Well, it pisses people off. I got to the point where there for a while when we kind of first started out together, I was like, I don't know you motherfuckers. I don't trust fucking anybody.
Right.
We're going to get fucking shorts, and we're going to go down to the fucking pool, and we're going to get in the pool and have this conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's a good idea. Fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So there for a long time, we had conversations in the pool. It'd be five of us. Let's fucking kind of like, yay, five grown men standing in the fucking pool, you know, talking to each other.
That's funny.
It's,
making water splash noises. That's hilarious. So listen, are you front line right now, or you got a bunch of guys where you take a team out and you go freaking take care of business?
Whatever they need done, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So what brought you to freaking Benghazi after, cause I heard they sent the fucking FBI out there. They wouldn't let the FBI freaking go anywhere near Benghazi.
Well, here's the thing. We were sent in there to be babysitters for the FBI.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
FBI is a bunch of fucking pencil pushers.
They right. Yeah.
You know, that whole movie that what's-his-name did where he went in to investigate the bombing in Saudi Arabia?
Right.
I don't know who all was in it. The dude that played the black guy that also raps or sings. Anyway, he was the leader of this FBI group. They were somewhat bad.
Was that 50 Cent or something like that? You're talking about a 50 Cent movie?
No. He was a comedian.
Right. Wesley Snipes?
No, the guy that played Ray Charles.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Right.
And it was something like Kingdom of Heaven or something like that.
Right.
Jamie
something.
A woman and another man in there. Two men, actually. And they're just FBI agents, you know, but suddenly they fucking end up badasses and they're fighting one of the crown princes of fucking Saudi's hitman team or something. Tim McGraw was even in that movie.
Mm.
But they just, they're nothing. They have no fucking preservation skills whatsoever, so we were sent over to kind of babysit them. But then when we got there, we started making phone calls like, this is fucked up. This is the most fucking absolute stupid. And we probably put ourselves in a position where possibly people were looking at us like, these fuckers know too much.
Oh, jeez.
A couple of guys got pulled back to D.C. and debriefed. And they're like, you need to come back? Fuck you. I said, I was there. I told you what I knew. I'm not fucking going to come in and give you more fucking intel. I said, you've got everything you need to fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. When you first get there, you got an 8 to 9 foot wall. It's kind of staggered a little bit. So you've got this stucco wall, okay?
Right.
Stone wall. Easily climbed. Easily.
Yeah, it's not a secure complex. It was owned by some fucking rich dude, right? That was renting it to,
He was leasing it to the U.S. government.
Right.
And it was, Well, first they said, well, it's going to be an area for somebody in D.C. was trying to make the ambassador look bad. They were trying to say that there was going to be women out there running around and debauchery and everything else. That wasn't what was going on. There was storm shit there. There's a listening post. So when you get there, you get up on top of the wall. It's a 6-foot jump to the first building. Well, if you come in from one side, it's 6 foot from one side. That building was actually the barracks. Security team. Okay? It was a regular building with rooms, but they call it the barracks.
Right.
The opposite corner, 6 feet from the wall, is the electronics room, where all the fucking security cameras and everything else was at.
Right.
6 feet. You can jump from this wall and land on the roof of this building and do what you need to do. The main house kind of reminds you of maybe a Spanish motif that had some archways. And,
right.
And open courtyard shit. The big center living area was open and had no roof. They were just starting to install a safe room, okay? But the stupid motherfuckers, the safe room was bars, Pete. It's just like a jail cell.
Huh.
There was nowhere to hide in the safe room.
Just
so
lock.
When you go into these bars, you've got fucking free range to shoot anybody or anything in that room and not miss.
No shit.
They have to wait now, yes.
Huh. So this thing was under construction at the time that he's fucking cutting deals. Because I heard a shipment went right from Libya to fucking Syria right afterwards.
Well, it wasn't under construction. They were actually there for a little. They'd used it a few times before, probably, I don't know, I'm guessing 6-7 months at least.
Right.
But the thing is, there had been some concerns about security there.
Mm-hmm.
So State Department said, well, we're funding to be put on top of the wall. Actually, I think they're going to raise the wall, and they started raising the wall along one side of it.
Right.
We're going to put a fence on top of it. We're going to do more work on the safe room, and but it was just all.
So freaking Stevens is saying, I need fucking better security. Send me some more fucking security detail. And they just turned him down.
Stevens wasn't, because he wasn't a tactical guy either. That was part of Stevens' problem. He felt he was safe wherever he went. He felt, you're exaggerating. Well, that's usually how a lot of bureaucrats are. You know?
Right. And you're so paranoid.
When they start bouncing off a fucking wall behind them, they're like, holy shit, get me the fuck out of here.
Right.
So when his security, and I forget the guy's name, the first one that was there, told them, this place is insecure, sir. There's no way. You can't do business here. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of, he was like, well, it's okay. You know, we'll work on it. Don't worry about it. And he just kept blowing him off.
Right.
So then he turned around and called somebody back to the State Department, told them what's going on, and said, hey, we need to do some work here. So then they got out some pictures and some aerial photos and shit and said, yeah, I can see how this is an issue. We'll start taking bids on it. Well, the bids come about the time the guns start getting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So then, now there's, you know, a serious concern that, well, now that I think about it, I don't even know if it would be a serious concern because the guns could have been placed there with Stevens' intention of getting them to rebels in other countries. But somebody else here in D.C., knowing the guns would get to whoever, you know, they wanted to get to there. See, the whole thing is now nobody really can lay a finger and say, this is who did this.
Right.
This group is the one that did it. They're, and that's what kind of fucks my head the most, is I usually can halfway figure something out,
mm-hmm.
and then start researching it and figure it out.
Right.
None of me, myself, or none of the guys could come up with. So that's when we started thinking, this is something fucking else. These fucking cats, I'm not sure if these are fucking.
So, dude, what? Can you, t- Can you tell me what are your responsibilities at this point? I mean, are you like security detail for the State Department? You're working for the fucking CIA directly, or what?
State Department.
You're working State Department security, or what?
Hillary has goons. Just put it that way.
Yeah. Right.
Hillary has goons, and she flexes her muscle. And for a woman, she is not afraid to. Not afraid to throw down the gauntlet. Not afraid to go above and beyond moral,
right?
Moral lines or even lawful lines. I mean, she has no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever.
So that whole crying thing with Stevens getting hit. Do you think that was all a freaking?
No, because she had known him.
Okay.
And I think that there was respect there on her part.
Right.
A lot of people thought that he would eventually become a big chunk, if not the Secretary of State or possibly somewhere in that cabinet. Because the guy had, I mean, you know, just like we talked about earlier, the bear is gone.
Right.
Korea really isn't that big fucking issue. China.
Right.
Making money, so they're fucking happy.
So we're fucking with the Muslims.
Now we got to worry about Muslims, and the Muslims, they just fucking hate our ass anyway. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We got too many fucking Americans in too many sandboxes, and they're right on that point. There's places we don't need to be.
Right.
We don't need to be in fucking Sudan worrying about oil. None of that fucking oil in Sudan is ever going to touch U.S. soil. But it affects the price and the profitability of the oil in Houston.
Yeah, globally, right.
So, therefore, they need to have a little bit of a, you know, stay in touch with reality and say, hey, this is what we control this region also. And it's just like, I can't believe we don't have fucking people in South America.
That's a trip, huh? Yeah, our freaking backs are yeah.
Oil reserve.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's another thing, Pete. Why will we not... They say now, because I read this over there, they say now that America could actually have more oil in it than any other nation.
Yeah.
More than Saudi, more than Brazil, more than Venezuela. There's in these shale deposits that they're tapping into, there's more oil in them, but Obama won't let the lands loose. He won't sign the leases. Built the pipeline.
Because he's got that fucking eco-communism going, the fucking Agenda 21 shit.
Yep.
Yeah. His global shit. Hey, do you think that Obama's faction and Hillary's faction have been fucking... I bet you Stevens got caught up in that whole fucking deal.
Yeah, because Hillary and Obama don't like each other either. Obama knew she's a pit bull, and he knew she was an enemy, and he knew she could run her mouth. So he puts her on his cabinet. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, pull her in close. His greatest enemy.
100% fucking smart move on his part.
So Stevens and Hillary Clinton and her whole faction, they're working this fucking deal, trying to be the heroes out there in the Middle East, right? And he's a fucking great ambassador.
Believe it or not, Hillary wasn't privy to a lot of the shit that was going down under Stevens.
Hmm. And he's working some nasty shit to go fucking arm the rebels in Syria, right?
I think she did know, but I think she was turning a blind eye.
Oh, jeez.
Because I think, you know, here she's supposed to be this dignified Secretary of State, the statesman for the United States of America, the spokesperson on their beliefs, philosophies, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And she could not be seen in that light as promoting some countries would call it terrorism, some countries would have called it anarchy, some kind of, you know, whatever.
Right.
She could not be seen
connected
with her hands in that cookie jar. Exactly.
So she scrubs all her lines between her and that's going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And see, that's kind of what
dude,
A and B are using.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you this, because I see this, and you probably hear me refer to this if you ever listen to my fucking shit. Is we, because I called McCain's office. I said, you're fucking supplying rebels in, you know, they're fucking Al-Qaeda in Syria. How about me? I'm a rebel here in the United States. I want to go after domestic enemies. Why don't you ship me $100 million worth of freaking armament? Why are we supplying Al-Qaeda in fucking Syria?
Well, I got one for you.
Yeah.
We were tasked with, I don't know how to say this, we were tasked with a job to return certain weapons to U.S. arsenals. These were weapons that were given to certain individuals south of the border. Somebody at some point in time realized it was a fucking mistake and I need to get them back. And before they could do that, border agents are dead. One of them fucking cats down there in the green suits, where it's all border control.
Yeah, yeah. God, this is Fast and Furious you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
I forgot they put a fucking moniker on it. We were going down there to get the guns back, and it was full fledged fucking A, Team A, Team B, both, which doesn't happen a lot. Team A and Team B both go down there, get this shit back, and get our fucking weapons before something goes terribly wrong. Well, we didn't even make it halfway through fucking Texas. When you get on Google Earth, I want you to get on Google. You ever get on Google Earth?
Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm a master of Google Earth. I can fucking, that shit I found last night, I first started to find it on Google Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started looking through tax records and found that address that had taxes paid on it by his production company.
Right.
So.
Magnolia, anyway. Right? I think he found, yeah.
So the, we get down to.
That's funny. You're working for the government using fucking Google Earth to dial in on the fucking.
Hey. I had a buddy call me one time, right? Now, he's fucking looking at satellite pictures of a fucking air base in China.
Okay? Right?
I swear to God, he's looking at a fucking air base in China on a fucking multi-million-dollar satellite.
Right.
Billion-dollar satellite.
And it was fuzzy. It's
supposed to be able to, yeah. This fucker's supposed to be able to read license plate numbers from 1,000 miles in space.
Okay? Right, right.
He calls me. He goes, man, he goes, you work on air bases, right?
I said, yeah.
You know the difference between a hangar and a bunker? I said, what the fuck kind of question is that? He goes, no, I mean, visually. I'm like, yeah, I know visually. He's like, my fucking hangars usually were above ground.
Right.
And I said, there's a few bases, they actually kind of built them into the ground, you know. I said, well, what are you looking at, man? What are you talking about? He goes, we got this place in China on a map, and we can't fucking see. And every time they fly over, it's like, they're fogging the fucking satellite or something. I'm like, whatever. Give me the coordinates. So he gives me the coordinates. So I fucking Google it. Google Earth pops up, and I'm like, okay, so what's the problem? And he said, well, what is this? I said, that's a Chinese spider web. He goes, what's a spider web? I was like, oh, my God, you fucking guys are geniuses, aren't you? I said, it's the way their military bases are designed, their air bases are designed. Each hangar has... Did you ever go on any EOD runs?
Yeah.
Did you ever go blow shit up out there?
No, oh, yeah, all the time. Remember
how they daisy-chained rocket motors
right.
before they'd blow them?
Right.
They'd Y off of each other?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they do with Chinese air bases. That every little hangar is actually an underground hangar.
Mm-hmm.
They camouflage the concrete. They paint the concrete in camouflage.
Mm.
So... I'm running my cursor over it, and you know when you run your cursor over it, it tells you pinpoint where you're at with
right.
the cursor.
Right.
So I'm telling him, he's got this fucking multi-million-dollar computer, this billion-dollar satellite, and I'm like, okay, 45.37.15.69 is a fucking pad in front of a hangar. Well, I'm like, no, look at it, dude. It's fucking camouflage. It's bright green, you know.
And you can't see it.
Walking into the woods, yeah. And he can't see it because of the fucking satellite pictures are shitty.
That's funny. That's because the Chinese have the fucking chip Yeah. And they had their fucking satellites scrambled, yeah.
He goes, well, where are you fucking getting this information from? I was like, Google Earth, man.
That's so funny. You know what, dude, seriously, I have to tell you this, right? This is from an outsider's perspective. What you just said describes how fucked up we are. We got all these bureaucrats, all this technology, all this fucking money, and we got the commercial sector dialing it in. Because they have a commercial incentive to get that fucking system right. But the military infrastructure is fucked up because we allow China to put the chip in that'll scramble the fucking camouflage.
So, are you running this radio station from home or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, what's up?
I just wondered. I was curious.
Yeah, no, I got some pretty... Yeah, no, it's a box that'll dial in. I mean, I could literally act as a separate room in any radio station.
Okay, second. Are you in a room alone?
Yeah.
Okay. Is Suzanne Cole, are you and Susan an item?
Dude, she's my lifeline. She is my absolute 1000% trusted confidant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why, what's up?
Does she live with you?
No.
Just being nosy.
Yeah. No. That's cool. That's all right. I mean, it just worked out. She's a patriot, though. I think
you're probably the sexiest voice fucking co-host.
Dude, you know what? You know what? She is. She's even.
Adultery? Oh my god! Wallpaper peels off.
She is fucking hotter in real life.
Brunette, isn't she?
Hotter in real life. I'm telling you, one day, dude, you're going to hear me broadcasting from freaking Cabo. She's going to be right next to me. Yeah, no doubt about it. But, hey, listen, let me ask you this, dude. I got to fucking, I mean, obviously, when are you going to be leaving the country? How long are you going to be in town for?
Never know. I get 24-hour fucking grub notice.
You're serious, man.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
I don't know. This fucking grandkid, he's pretty cute. I'm going to stick around for a while. I'm going to tell him to fuck off next time they call.
So you're just on freaking payroll. They dial you up and they say, this is where we need you to be. Boom. And that's how you show up in fucking Benghazi out of nowhere.
Let me tell you how my payroll works, Pete. I had my cousin ask me one time. He goes, so what's your pay grade? Because he's working for, he's a fed. He works, he's a federal probation officer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he goes, so, and he's all about his status, you know, so he's wanting to know what my status is. He goes, so what's your GS level? GS.
You're off the books?
Well, when they pay me fees, they pay me nice round numbers, let's put it that way.
Right. That fucking duffel bags in freaking Sudanese currency.
Well, they write checks, but they write checks on fucking, you know, companies that is a fuck you. The last fortune has been from National RV.
Are you serious?
Our cover is we're fucking RV salesmen when we travel the country.
Right.
For RV shows. I've even got a fucking National RV hat that's worn all through hell because I did that show 4 or 5 times.
What a fucking trip. What a trip.
Palm trees on it, the fucking bills all frayed. I'll have that hat forever.
That is so funny, man.
I went to an auction the other day. They have a state auction here where somebody fucking dies or is moving and they sell all their shit. I bought a Mark 76 practice bomb.
Did you really?
Fucking new. Still had the fucking pin in the...
No shit.
Purchase thing in the nose. Still had the little cardboard fin protectors on it.
Put that on your freaking mantle, right? That's funny.
Guitar collection. I've been collecting guitars for years.
That's cool.
Got my grandpa's Mustang. It's bought new in 1955.
Hey, did you have a fucking Mustang in Okinawa?
I have Jeff. Well, I didn't have it in Okinawa, but I had one when I got Del Toro.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
It was back in the States, but yeah, I had one. I drove to Memphis. I don't think I knew you in Memphis. I think you were a class or two behind me, weren't you?
I think so. Yeah, maybe.
I got Okinawa in July, let's put it that way.
Right.
I was in Broadbent.
Dude, you know what? Before I forget, I got to get. Do you have Humphrey's number?
Oh, yes. Hold on. Remember Brett Straub?
Yeah.
He's in fucking Alaska.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's he doing out there?
Electric company.
Huh.
He goes fishing for like 2 weeks at a time and stocks up all his fish for a year. Him and like 10 buddies were on a big boat.
Mm-hmm.
And he wolf hunts with Sarah Palin's dad.
Really?
He lives in her town, whatever that little fucking town is called.
Right, right.
It's like 45 minutes away from here it is. 425.
Uh-huh.
736.
Right.
7169. That's his cell phone number.
Okay, so 425-736-7169?
Yes.
Cool. Dude, is there any way, if you see some fucking weird shit, because I'm sure you see weird shit going on. If you see any weird shit going on, is there any way you can communicate to me when you're out of the...
Well, that's what we'll do with that email.
Yeah, man. Keep me posted. What's the hottest...
Like that name?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Fucking Gandalf Black. That's funny. That's funny. What's the hottest thing going on right now that you're worried about?
Israel.
Yeah, no shit, huh? It's about to fucking bust open. You said that you heard some intel from Susanna was telling me that you heard intel from Stratfor. You get emails from Stratfor?
Oh yeah, Stratfor keeps me informed. Shit's in me that comes in.
You think Alex Jones is connected to fucking Stratfor? Have you even looked into that?
I don't think so.
No, those guys are freaking.
Here's what I think about Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones is a fucking blubbering idiot, fat fucking shit.
Wannabe.
Blowhard. I think exactly. Exactly. Hmm. Nail on the head.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that he hasn't made himself into something. You know, still really nothing, but, I mean, he may have contact. That dude that fucking died not too long ago, what was his name?
Bill Cooper?
Yes. That, I think there's some police involvement there.
Right. You know what I think? This is my suspicion. This is what I've learned about Alex Jones, is that he's a fucking ruthless, unethical business motherfucker, and I'll bet you that guy would sell data to fucking Stratfor, like just tie in their pipeline and just use his system as a honeypot and him making cash doing it.
Yep. Exactly.
So Stratfor has all this data on all the fucking wing nuts, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And they're analyzing it, and he's selling it to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me about a company last night that she thought Bush was tied in with. I said, no. I said, they are an equity firm, 100%, or 99.9% equity firm now. They bought a defense contractor out and thought they were going to get the defense building because that's the business. So that's where all the money was at back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this thing. That's when Rumsfeld was running fucking Department of Defense. And they had this thing set up where they had a howitzer, unmanned howitzer they were working on.
Right.
And Rumsfeld said, this is the fucking stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. He pulled the plug on it. Well, Rumsfeld was all about, I don't give a fuck what the president wants. I don't give a fuck if he is my fucking boss. I'm the fucking, you know, that's how his attitude was.
Right, old school freaking, yeah, Cold War motherfucker, right.
I'm not saying Bush didn't have money in the company back then, or the Bush family didn't have money in it. But Brunswick didn't fucking care. This is the stupidest thing I've ever fucking seen. Pull the fucking plug and send that shit to the scrapyard. That's exactly what he said, word for word.
Wow.
So when they lost that contract, their fucking stock went down 35% in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And shareholders were pissed. So the shareholders had an emergency meeting, and they told this company that, guess what, cocksucker, you fucking need to start selling off all the defense assets. And they had some people, some greedy fuckers working for them that still said, well, we'll still do this. And they had some security teams and some other shit too at the time. But nobody would work for them that had any sense because they were just idiots.
Mm.
I mean, Pete, that'd be like a guy calling me tomorrow and say, hey, I work for Chase Manhattan. And we have some interests in hiring you to run some op. I said, and I'm like, that's
That's how stupid it is for this company. They're bankers.
Right.
They don't need to be making tactical decisions with military implications. It's fucking stupid. And
right.
But that's the same way our government is. Just like Obama. Obama has no fucking right being commander-in-chief. I don't think any president of the United States should be commander-in-chief without, even if it's 2 years National Guard fucking experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Right.
It should not fucking happen.
Because the shit's so fucking fluid from month to month.
Yep, yep.
Well, and they don't have any clue about anything, what needs to be done, how the military works. Like, the whole thing was fucking SEAL Team 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, Pete, Obama was already dead, or fucking Bin Laden was already dead.
Really?
All right? Trust me, Bin Laden was dead.
Mm.
I helped guard doctors delivering a dialysis machine to him years ago.
No
shit.
He was
on dialysis fucking 7 years ago, Pete. People don't live that long on dialysis.
No shit. Dude, can I ever mention something like that on the fucking air?
Well, just say that you were talking to a friend and that it came up. We're talking about Bin Laden, and here's how you put it. Say, because if there anybody is listening, they'll know that there's certain people that know.
Right, right, exactly.
And then all you need to say is say, I got this friend, and his buddy was in the military, and, you know, the military told about how they were running medical equipment. And that Bin Laden was actually a kidney, what do you call it when you're waiting on a kidney?
Transplant candidate.
Yes, transplant candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So he was wanting to be a kidney recipient. He was wanting to get somebody's kidney, and they were just looking for compatibility, and they couldn't find anybody. So the U.S. government, in all their wisdom, is back in the day when the U.S. government was supporting him, sent him a fucking multi-$1,000 dialysis machine to help keep him alive. And sent doctors. And then just say that, you know, my friend's cousin or brother or whatever, however you want to say it, told me that he was there when they delivered this machine, and that was over 7 years ago.
Hmm.
Well, fuck, I have to think about the timeline now.
Yeah, time flies. Yeah.
I'm
going to stay away from that. Fuck it. I'm going to stay away from it completely. Fuck that. Yeah, because, I mean, that's a pretty close connection there. So you knew what the fuck was going on and where it was going to?
Oh, yeah. I knew exactly where it was going.
You did?
I was helping fucking transport.
But this is pre 9/11. He's getting a dialysis machine? Dialysis machine?
Oh, it was fucking way pre. It was way pre 9/11. It was pre. See, we used to support him.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Right.
Minions, you know?
Right.
So I actually was on details running escort into some of these fucking regions where he was training so that they could get a look, congressmen, senators, so they could get a look and see where our tax dollars are going.
No fucking shit, dude.
And then later, I get pulled in there and said, hey, we got one more trip to make back to the desert. I'm like, what the fuck, or the mountains? I said, what's before? He goes, well, we got to drop off a machine. What kind of machine? Is it a doomsday ray? What the fuck? So that's about the time I stopped trusting my own government.
Yeah, dude, when you saw 9/11 happen, what were you saying to yourself? What the fuck?
Believe it or not, I had taken some time off. You're going to laugh at this. I was selling Lincoln Mercury's.
You fucking cracked me up. You cracked me up, dude.
You know, my dad ran a Lincoln Mercury dealership when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then he started his own parts business and Mustang business. So Lincoln Mercury was in my blood. And I'm thinking.
Right.
And it was about a time where I was really pissed off the U.S. and some of the decisions they were making.
Right.
And I thought, fuck, I want to see if I can find a new profession.
Right.
And I went into this car dealership, and I knew the manager, the general manager, because him and my dad had known each other for years. And he goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'll give you a shot. He goes, we'll train you how to be a salesman. I said, all right. Fucking second month, I was number one salesman.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And Lincoln Mercury is not an easy car to sell then. Okay?
Right.
2001, 2001 was Lincoln's Lincoln and Mercury's low fucking. When they run into the buildings, I'm standing in the fucking showroom looking up the TV in the waiting area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
So I immediately pick up my cell phone and I start calling buddies of mine that were in. Are you watching TV? Yeah, man, what the fuck's going on? I'll call you back. I'll call you back. Everybody's calling everybody.
Right.
And the first thing I thought of was, first thing I thought of when I saw the first one run into it, because there wasn't any car, the sound was down. I thought, that stupid motherfucker lost control of his plane and crashed into the fucking Trade Center.
Yeah,
that's fucking believable.
Yeah, the first one, I was like, I remember sitting there at the computer and I heard about the first one, and I fucking, first thing I my watch, and I'm like, fuck, man, it's fucking prime time. The fucking Cessna crashed into the building at prime time. There's 50,000 people in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, what the hell? And then I see this other dot in the background, and then I see it turn up like it's banking.
Right.
And I said, those are fucking wings. And that ain't a fucking little plane.
Right.
And then bam, second one. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, you knew what was going on right then, yeah. So you're thinking these motherfuckers have turned on us, and you already know what the fuck's going on with Bin Laden. You heard about Bin Laden right away, right?
Yeah, but I really didn't. I didn't think it was Bin Laden's time. I just thought it was some other fucking nut job.
Yeah.
Because I had been out of the game enough. Because see, what happened was, after I had did that, I got out, went back to work for a guy in St. Louis. I was subcontracting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a British national, owns a fairly good size, we'll call it a security company.
Right.
And we'll call it a security company.
Right.
He fucking farms people out, you know. And he said, I called him, I said, hey, I said, you got any work? And he goes, yeah, I got work. He goes, I always got work. I got work for you. And I'll find you something to do. I said, all right. I said, I'm a little peeved right now, so I need time to cool off. He goes, oh, no, absolutely no problem. I understand. So I went to work for him. And then I told him, I said, you know what, I'm just going to take some time off away from this side of the house completely. He goes, I understand. Everybody needs a break.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat around for like 2 weeks, and I was actually living with this chick, kind of living with her. It was my home address within Speedway. And I told her, I said, I need to get a job or something. I said, I can't fucking sit still. I said, I need to get something to get a job. She started laughing. She goes, all right. She goes, she worked at the Chrysler Jeep store across the street from this place. She goes, Lincoln Mercury needs salesmen. She goes over and try to sell cars, you know, if you like it. I was like, all right, what the fuck, I'll try it. So I go over there and get hired instantly and start the next Monday. And I did it for, I don't know, almost 8 or 9 months. But see, at the time, after they did that, Ford went to 0% interest, so sales really peaked. I made $100,000 selling cars that year.
Jeez.
And then I realized that after Zaharico was his name, after he left, the next manager came in with a lying sack of shit. I wouldn't lie to customers. I would not lie to customers.
Right.
And that's why I did so well. I would not do it.
Right.
And I actually would work the fucking manager harder than I'd work the customer. I was all for the customer. I'd go in, I'd say, okay, here's the deal. My manager wants $35,000 for this car, okay? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to offer him $31,000 because he's got $30,000 in it.
Right.
I said, I'm not here to make money. I'm here to make some friends. If you want to buy this car for $31,000, write that number down, put an X beside it, sign it, and I'll take it back in there to him. Now, what he's going to do is counter. You stick to your gun. I would tell them how to buy a car.
Right.
And I had so much repeat business come in. I had one guy bought like fucking 8 cars from me.
Yeah.
He bought cars. He bought cars for all his kids. And he's like, yeah, he goes, I love this guy. And, but then they got this new manager came in. And I was like, fuck you. You're a fucking prick. I'm not fucking selling shit for you. I'm not lying for you, first of all. Then it got to the point where I said, I'm not fucking selling shit for you. I'm out of here.
Hmm.
So I called my friend back in St. Louis and drove down there 3 or 4 days later and spent the weekend at his house. And, kind of weaseled in and out of a couple jobs, and then he got me back in with Z, which is Blackwater, the new Blackwater.
Right.
And I worked for them for a few months. It's almost like being, I don't know if you ever know anybody that was a laborer or a carpenter.
Yeah.
You know, like, and when you go to the union hall, they send you to work for a company, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's kind of how this guy in St. Louis was. This guy had some fucking clout.
He did.
And he would go in, he knew you. If he knew you, he knew what your strengths were, and he knew where he needed to place you. He knew what he could do to help you maximize your efficiency and your professional skill set. And he'd say, okay, I think this job would work out like a business manager, basically, in a way, but headhunter, I guess.
Right.
But he would send us to these other companies and farm us out, and then sometimes he'd get shit on his own.
So you're going all over the world on his behalf working for these fucking companies?
No. Just from time to time.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the whole time I was in Sudan, I was in fucking Cameroon. I've been in countries that don't even fucking exist anymore.
Right.
And I would go down there, and you stick out like a sore thumb, you know? I fucking had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Right.
Everybody else is a fucking African. It ain't hard to fucking see. Oh, there's another dude. He's blonde haired. Hey, man, what's going on? You a merc? Yeah, you.
So you
make friends, you know?
Right.
You make friends and start making contacts. But, you know, the thing that really ticks me off is that we didn't have cell phones back when everybody was in Okinawa and El Toro together.
Right. No
because
shit.
If we had, we'd all stay in touch. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, I understand. Yeah, I absolutely
no internet. I mean, it took me, I got wounded, kind of tore up a little bit, and I came home, and that's when I called you the last time. I fucking was mending, and I got on the computer, and I said, fuck, I'm going to start looking all the old guys up.
We talked one time for, I think, 5 minutes, and then I fucking lost touch with you. You were gone.
Yep. Hey. I left the country again. I healed up and left.
Hey, hold on one second, okay? Hold on. Susanna's calling me right now. Sorry about that. You there? Yeah, man, it's a shame, but you know, I mean, everyone needs to, we all need to freaking reconnect, man. I definitely want to, hey, you have Zoe's telephone number too?
No, not here. I got it home on the computer. I'll email it to you.
Fuck, dude, yeah, email and copy him in. I definitely want to get back in touch with him as well.
Hopefully you talk to Newton.
Oh, dude, just because of me raising so much hell, I've kept just enough distance from him because I didn't want him getting in fucking trouble because I didn't know who was looking at me. But I'm gonna send him your contact info, your email.
Cool.
You got to get in touch with him. He's a cool dude, man. He's a freaking.
Oh, yeah.
He's just cool now as he was back then.
Always was.
Yep. Yep.
Broadbeck. I wonder where the fuck Broadbeck's at. He may be in jail. Who knows?
Who's that?
Broadbeck. Ernie.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, what about Hagen, Chuck Hagen? Do you remember him?
Yeah, I tried finding Hagen. I tried finding Cardwell, and I can't find either one of them.
Hagen's probably fucking dead.
I've been to Cardwell's dad's house. If you remember, his wife was named Jerry also. It was just spelled differently. My ex-wife was named Jerry. So I've been to Cardwell's dad's house multiple times. And it was in... we're at fucking Knott's Berry Farm. What's that little fucking town called?
Yeah, it's in Orange County, right.
Yeah, that's where his dad lived. And, I mean, I could drive right to that place. I don't know that I could find it on a satellite, but I know I could drive right to it. I think. I mean, last time I went through fucking L.A., I thought, oh, I'm going to drive down and check out fucking El Toro, you know. It was a parking lot for RV time.
You're right. Sad, huh?
And the base housing we lived in was gone.
Right.
The bump up, I think, still had some shit stored in it. But then I got up on Tributo Canyon, And there's a fucking toll road behind the bomb dump now?
It's a trip, huh?
That's fucking trip. I got home, I looked on Julie Lewis, and I'm like, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah.
12-lane fucking interstate behind the fucking bomb dump.
Dude, do you think they still have shit in the hills over there?
No, probably not anymore.
They took it all out? Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what would be in there.
Hmm.
Because they moved all that shit down to Miramar.
Yeah.
And, or added on to Miramar, I should say.
And Pendleton, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Dude, listen, so let's stay in touch, though, all right? I'm going to, she's calling me. We need to do some show prep shit. But any info, any freaking intel you can feed my way?
All right.
I'd love it. Semper Fi, motherfucker.
My problem, you too, fuckhead.
Yeah, yeah. Stay tight.
See you later, bro.
Later. All bye. Right.